Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106 on the Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, a standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Yep.
And Jason Bishop.
Hi.
In the midst of Open Line Thursday. Jason was grumpy this morning and said he didn't want to talk. Wanted to go to 100 callers. I don't think we're going to hit 100 at this pace. You'd have to have a ridiculous junkie shootout-like pace and have no conversations. But I think we got a realistic shot at 50. We're at 21 right now.
Real quick, I know we're going to get some calls here. This morning I woke up, I went to the kitchen, got some cranberry juice, and I heard something behind the fridge. And I said, wow, that's weird. It sounded, and I was kind of running late, so I couldn't pull the fridge out to see what it was. It sounded like it could have been a mouse, but it was too loud. And was okay. Something was moving behind the fridge.
Okay.
It almost, and I heard something breathing back there. Now, I don't know if it was the actual fridge, because our fridge has been acting weird, or if there was an animal behind my fridge. It was so weird.
I'm guessing a mouse in the house.
It sounded bigger than a mouse. I think
maybe
I think there was a possum behind it.
You have an old possum in your house?
I think there was something that size.
How would that get in that space? Because I'm guessing your refrigerator's against the wall.
Possums are big. Big and gross.
I'm kidding. But there was something behind the fridge. It might have been just the fridge. Maybe it was the filters acting weird. So I texted my wife. I said, there was something behind the fridge, and she hasn't texted me yet. She's probably still snoozing.
She has to go look for it.
Because her life is tough.
What time does she generally wake up?
In the summer?
Yeah,
she'll
summertime.
Sleep till 9 o'clock.
Hey, I'll clap that up. That's like Flakes on the weekend. Sleeps
so jealous. My daughters are both teenagers. They're going to sleep until 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason. Unless my dog wakes up my wife. And my dog's pretty good about letting her sleep.
Yeah.
She'll sleep till 9.
I just wanted to bring up this retort from Scott Boras. Remember we brought up the story where Jason Wirth seemed upset that his agent didn't get him a bevy of offers.
Yeah.
And he said he called a bunch of teams on his own. And that they did want him.
Except the Mets. He said he wouldn't play for the Mets.
Yeah. Seemed to be a difference of opinion there. Boras put out a statement about Wirth's comments and said, it appears someone has misled Jason. We contacted all 30 teams numerous times during the offseason on his behalf. And we have phone logs, emails, and other records to back it up. We received no offers for Jason in November or otherwise. We're always prepared to support our work against inaccuracies spread by third parties.
That's why Jason Wirth is popping in on a D.C. senior baseball league like he did. I think it was last night and hit like a monster tater.
Still likes to play.
Just Jason, can't do it in the majors anymore.
Just go enjoy your 14,000-square-foot home in Great Falls.
Yeah. Because he does have that.
Right, with a panic room in it.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067 if you want to call us on the Hadid Carpet Clean Lister lines.
I'm way behind. I'm building my panic room.
John's in Reston. John, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Morning, fellas. Great show as always.
Thanks for taking the time. How you doing, man?
Reggie. Hey, listen, real quick question.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack rumors. Hogshaven has an article saying that there's a possibility that the Redskins could trade for Khalil Mack. What do you think about that, and what kind of compensation? I'm thinking second-round pick in Preston Smith. I know it's grasping, but
gotta give up way more.
Hold on, Khalil Mack—he's one of the best.
That's gas face worthy.
if he's healthy, he has like 25 sacks.
Yeah, he's like one of the top defensive players in the
league.
What is the
deal with Khalil Mack? He wants a new contract. He's just holding out. Is that the deal with him?
Yeah,
you'd have to give up
more cash.
Probably multiple first round picks for him.
They're not going to trade him. Why would the Raiders trade him? Isn't he under?
I would assume. He's holding out for more money.
If they just don't think they're going to be able to get him in there.
He's just going to sit out the whole year.
But I doubt they trade him.
Wouldn't he get fined for every game he missed?
I would think so, and he wouldn't get paid. He wants to be paid.
I want to get paid, but I'm not going to hold out.
Zach has a base salary of $13.8 million for this upcoming season.
Oh, he can't
season.
Get by with that. Jeez. Yeah. Let's go to Bethesda. Vinny, you're on with the Junkies.
Good morning, Junks. How are y'all doing?
What's up, Vinny?
It's my annual Trent Williams phone call. So here's a new contest for the Junks for the 18 season is the over-under for Trent Williams on how many times, A, he knocks somebody down, or B, he falls to the ground himself. And the number is 2.5. I want you guys to
So you're saying he doesn't
that.
Fall to the ground ever?
What, you mean tonight?
Ever. Ever. No, he won't be on the field tonight.
Oh, for,
no, he's
you,
injured.
For the entire year?
The entire year. Yeah, the entire year. And I'm telling you, I've been watching him for 3.5 years. I'm a season ticket holder, and it's amazing.
Hold on, so you're saying he never gets knocked down? He's never on the ground?
Never. Never. Played a game against the Kansas City Chiefs in the mud and the slop and the snow 3 years ago. He had white pants at halftime.
Well, right, why make the bet if you're
I
telling us we're going
to
lose?
I find this hard to believe. He never trips and falls down?
I'll bet you over.
Over, under. Two and a half.
Okay, I'll go over.
Book it.
Front the
Book
money.
It. Okay.
Venmo Valdez.
I'm there with you. I'll take it off. I'll take it off.
All right, hold up. How much? What is the bet for? I got to put it in the bet book.
I'll bet you $20 he's on the ground more than 2.5 times during the 2018 season.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking per game. Per game.
Oh.
Per game.
Oh.
Well, why didn't you say that?
That's too hard to even track.
All right, I can't.
No, it's not.
It's hard to track because they don't focus on that if you're watching on TV.
Yeah. I mean,
how do we even know?
You need, like, the All-22 tape. Yeah, you're just not going to do that. You're not going to get an accurate count.
Yeah, he didn't specify there.
I thought he meant the entire season.
It's got to rest in. Chris, what's going on?
Hi, how are you doing today?
Hey,
what's up, Chris?
What's up?
I'm treating myself to an out-of-town game next week for my birthday, considering I've been there since my last birthday.
Yeah?
Yeah, I fractured my hand and 2 major surgeries since last August.
What kind of surgeries?
So the first one was stage 1 colon cancer November before Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I got it before it spread. Yeah. But it's had something to be thankful for.
All right, well, are you clean? Are you clean now? Clear of it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I got it before it spread.
All right, good.
And then a double surgery in April. Took up a gallbladder and fixed my artery for deferred hernia.
Damn, man, you're a health insurance company's nightmare. What you are?
Hernia is not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
All right, what is your question? What is your question?
I don't know.
I'm treating myself to all 4 games.
Okay.
To St. Louis. My birthday's in the last day they play. It's the 16th of August.
So you're going to the Nats Cardinals series, all 4 games.
Yeah.
Good. That'll be fun. It's going to be about 110 degrees.
Might be fun for him.
Well, I'm going to be sitting in the Enterprise Rent a Car Club, all 4 games, all inclusive food and drink.
Sweet. He's getting hooked by Enterprise.
All right, enjoy.
Have fun, Chris. Glad that you're healthy, bro.
800-636-1067. I think all of us probably pulled our punches because of the first thing that he said.
The colon cancer. I mean, yeah, it stops a lot of joining.
Right.
By the way, people in St. Louis love baseball. I'm checking the ticket prices for the Nat series. From $3, from $2, from $2, from $2. You can go see Nat's Cards in the middle of August in St. Louis for as little as $2 per ticket.
I didn't read the article. Okay, I saw that it was available on ESPN.com, but it kind of intrigued me. But then I clicked on it. It was a super lengthy article, and I didn't care enough
you
to read about
it. You glanced it?
I didn't even really glance it. But the article was entitled "How the Shift Ruined Albert Pujols."
Uh-huh.
And it said that Albert Pujols, who was, you know, he's still a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he hit a bomb. I think he hit another bomb.
But
last night.
They started employing the defensive shift on him, and he's a right-handed batter, so it's not. I don't think that the shift on right-handed batters is as prevalent as on lefty sluggers, but that basically he still hits screaming line drives all the time, but they're just right at guys.
So
you would have to pay me a lot of money to ever read an article about how the shift impacts Albert Pujols.
So
you'd
if
have
it
to pay me money.
So if it wasn't for the shift, he'd have 4,000 hits instead of 3,000?
I don't know. Maybe he'd be hitting 300 instead of 230. Let's go to Derek,
he's
LA.
253.
Derek, what's up?
Hey, good morning. It's my first time calling, so I might be a little nervous, but I'm calling from LA.
Okay.
And my question is, right now I'm 26, and I'm wondering if the Junks would have done what I did at my age.
All right.
So I recently got into a relationship about last year, and my plans were originally, and this was back when I was living in D.C., my original plans was to go back up to Boston to go ahead and enter into an MBA program, which I previously kind of dropped out of only because I got a good job offer and I felt that the MBA wasn't really necessary at the time.
Okay.
But I went into this relationship and I mentioned that my plans were to move up back up to Boston. But once we actually started getting serious, we both realized that we wanted to get out of D.C., mainly because for me, I didn't like the
job
I was working and the hours.
There's a lot of background. I'm losing my patience. I'm sorry.
All right, be patient. It's open line Thursday.
Okay, but what is the question?
All right, so you have this girlfriend and you wanted to move out of D.C. Where'd you go?
Yeah, so she wanted to go ahead and move to L.A. So in order to get a job in L.A., it's very hard because most of the time they want you to already live out there.
Okay.
So what I did was I entered my resume and I stated that I was already living in L.A. at the time.
Okay.
On Wednesday, I went ahead and I got a phone interview, and on the following Thursday, the next day, they told me that I got the job. But normally, you would have to put in a two-week notice. Unfortunately, they wanted me to start the following Monday, so I had to go in that.
It's too
Cake's
much.
Lost the patience.
We got nothing. But we got 2 hours left.
Yeah, but that story was taking 9 minutes.
Yeah,
I wanted to get the end of it.
You got to do better callers.
No, there was no end.
You got to do better callers.
There was no end.
We don't know.
Interminable. I know.
I asked him to speed up.
What was it?
He didn't know.
You moved to LA. You got a job.
Would you move and not give 2 weeks' notice? Yes.
So would I lie on my resume?
Of course. Of course. George O'Leary'd his resume.
But you know what? Don't
have done that.
But also, don't punt the MBA because your girl, because now you're in a relationship.
So he moved to LA with the girl. By the way, why are you moving to LA with your girlfriend when there's just 12s out there everywhere? It's littered with 12s.
The guy's making mistakes left and right.
I mean, he's bringing sand to the beach.
I mean, we appreciate him listening.
So the question was, would we have done that?
No.
I probably would not have gone to L.A.
Right,
and I certainly wouldn't have brought my girlfriend up there.
Probably not.
Let's go to our pal D. Woods real quick.
Hey, what's going on, John?
What's up, D?
Hey, sir, are y'all that desperate for callers today? I mean,
no, that's
I
why we got rid of that guy.
I called in to say this. The last four callers were so ridiculous. They don't even understand that you guys are doing a radio show. One guy called and he lured Lurch in with his cancer story and talked about going to St. Louis.
Right.
And then we got another guy who thinks we care about his girlfriend and his MBA. And then a guy that thinks you can trade Khalil Mack for a ham and cheese sandwich. I mean, it's ridiculous.
If somebody asked me to list my top 5,000 vacations, going to St. Louis to watch four straight baseball games would not make the top 5,000.
Right, but that's what he likes to do. You guys are killing him.
I'd rather march. March for, you know, whatever civil rights in St. Louis before going to see a Cardinals game. But now let's punt open line Thursday. Let you guys do what you're good at. Okay, you're great at. All right, because callers don't understand the what is needed for a radio show. You know what I mean? They just think that they can call in and just, you know, give their life story. No one cares. No one cares.
Nobody cares.
All right, John.
He wants to be our program director.
D Woods knows when to get knows when to leave.
Yeah.
Smart.
I like talking to the people. Yes, the last three or four have been pointless, but I do like talking to the people.
Khalil Mack for a second round pick.
And don't forget Preston Smith. Throw him in there, too.
That wasn't a great call.
All right, Mark DeRosa joins us next. We will talk about the national struggles.
Mark DeRosa.
With Mark DeRosa from the MLB Network here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Remember, coming up at 9:20, Sir Nick Faldo preview the PGA Championship.
Sir Nick.
But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Mark DeRosa from MLB Network. Today, your Nats trying to salvage a series with the Braves, and the game's exclusively on Facebook at 1 p.m.
And here on 106.7 The Fan.
Yes.
And Mark's going to call the game with Scott Braun and FP Santangelo on Facebook.
Look at that.
At 1 o'clock. Zero, what's up, buddy?
How we doing?
Props for getting that Facebook money, Zero. Props.
That's right. Is this the first time you will ever call a game? Have you ever called a game before?
I did two when I first retired. I did two, and I remember walking in the first time. I as of right now, I'm saying I prefer the studio stuff just because I'm a little bit more comfortable at it.
Right.
But I had the lady from Fox tell me two things. She said, don't start a story with two outs, and when in doubt, shut up. that's kind of been my rule of thumb when I've called the games. But I did one Facebook game. I did the Braves-Toronto earlier in the season and had a blast with it. So I jumped on a train last night from Jersey and flew up here. And I'm literally walking around the shipyard. What the heck? This place has exploded since I left.
Yeah, you're right down the street from us.
I wish you would have come in studio. If I'd have known you were in town, we would have pushed for it.
He might be staying at the Homewood Suites. We have no idea.
Yeah, are you staying at the Homewood Suites?
I won't give away where exactly I'm staying, but I'm walking around like, none of this existed when I was here 5 years ago.
I heard on the news yesterday or the day before that it's the hottest or most popular growing neighborhood in any metropolitan city is the Navy Yards, Washington Navy Yards.
I'm blown away. I actually didn't know where Nats Park was. I was in a cab last night coming out of the train station, and I'm like, yeah, M Street down close to the yard. You couldn't even see the yard until you got close. That's all that used to be here. So,
right,
this is pretty awesome.
You know what else they got down here in Navy Yards? Hot millennials. They're walking around everywhere. It's unbelievable. Hey, Mark, I did not see the game, the Nats game last night because I played golf during the day and then I went and had cocktails with some buddies. So I didn't watch
life.
I didn't watch any of the game.
No, tough life.
But we're taking calls, and you know, there's a lot of frustrated Nats fans. We're taking calls this morning. A lot of people are criticizing Davey for one particular move. They've been criticizing Davey all year. And I get it. You know, when a team is underachieving and struggling, they're going to go point to the manager. But last night, and I'm not sure if you saw this, but last night in the second inning, top of the second, the Nats were up 1-0. There's two outs, and Culberson's up. Now, Charlie Culberson is basically Al Kaline in the series. He's up with two on, two outs, and Davey decides to pitch to him. Tommy Malone on the hill. He decides to pitch to him instead of walking him to load the bases. Foltynewicz is up next. Good move, bad move?
I come from the school of Bobby Cox. Bobby Cox never let the eight hole hitter beat him, ever. Did not matter if third base is open, that's still a base open. So that's kind of how I've always approached it. Granted, he did have two strikes on him, if I'm not mistaken, and completely missed over the heart of the plate. We were talking about this last night. The Nats are fighting for their postseason life right now, and they're being forced to give the ball to Tommy Malone because of all the injuries and all. That's the bigger question for me. Yeah, should Davey have walked Charlie Culberson, who's absolutely killed him, to get to the pitcher? Yeah, I definitely think that's the move. The bigger move for me is, how are you going to make a serious postseason run these last five weeks, when you're giving starts to guys that you had no idea were going to even touch the ball when the season started? Right. I know you got to, you got to bear down. You can't help yourself with who's going to get hurt and who's not going to get hurt. But at the end of the day, that's the bigger thing for me.
Yeah. Well, look, and we took a bunch of calls as well from Nats fans who really wanted to add a starter before the deadline. Now, there's still time. You can still add a starter before August 31st, obviously. But, you know, we talked about Cole Hamels and Hap and, you know, other guys. You know, they had a chance to get Arrieta in the offseason, and they didn't want to pay him. But you're right. And I like Tommy Malone, but he's not a guy, when, especially when he's pitching against Fulton
Absolutely. Avich.
Absolutely. You're right.
Tommy Malone,
good move.
I was saying this. I came up in kind of that, as the steroid era was kind of just in full force, and then it kind of drifted away towards 04. And then from a pocket from like 04 to like 2010, you would occasionally get that 3-4-5 guy that teams could potentially feast on. Well, in today's modern game of everybody throwing 95-plus, those guys are obsolete now, except for a token few. And Tommy Malone's kind of one of those guys that's kind of hung on. But in today's game, when guys are swinging for homers 0-2, if you ain't got stuff to get by them, serious stuff to get by them, they're not changing their approach. They're not grounding out like we used to do and moving runners over. He's got to be so fine the entire start that one mistake, Charlie Culberson, who, again, a utility player who should be looking to, you know, push a ball to right field 10 years ago, is now looking to jump ship.
Mark, can you tell us why Joe Simpson, the Braves announcer, is so curmudgeonly? Why was he questioning the age of Juan Soto? A few weeks ago, he was questioning the professionalism of a few Dodgers hitters during BP because they're wearing, Stand Up to Cancer t-shirts.
Yeah.
What's going on with Joe Simpson?
I can't defend him for the Juan Soto thing. That's just wrong. He knows that's wrong. I've known Joe a long time. He's a good man. I think for me, again, I go back to Bobby Cox. Bobby Cox had very, very few rules, but one was you wear your BP jersey so everyone in the park knows who you are, and you always wear your hat straight. Those were his two rules. So in today's day and age, I'm not saying I agree with him or not, because the minute I got moved to Texas, I was wearing a cut T-shirt like the rest of the guys for BP, and I loved it.
Yeah.
So I didn't necessarily like the way the Braves did everything, but you're an employee, you expect the decisions of your manager, and that's what we did, from Gary Sheffield, Chipper Jones on down the line. Neat, BP, hat on straight, and that's what Joe's always known.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a joke gone wrong, but he saw all the Dodgers players kind of wearing whatever they wanted, and that's not what he had grown accustomed to in the game. So I knew where he was coming from. It just it falls on deaf ears in today's game.
It really does. One last question about the Nats, then we'll move on and talk about some of the other races. In my opinion, Mark, the biggest reason, biggest factor that this team has struggled this year is Strasburg. You know, he wasn't pitching like vintage Strasburg when he was healthy, and then he always hits the DL twice a year. We know this. He's a $175 million nightmare when it comes to that. And let's just say, he's probably going to miss 10 starts plus with all the DL stints, right? And he's still not back.
Yeah.
I mean, if those 10 starts, he's 7-3, you know, they got 65 wins right now. I mean, that's the biggest reason that, and that's why they have to go to guys like Tommy Malone and Jeffrey Rodriguez, because they can't rely on him.
Exactly. You know, trust is the biggest thing. I agree with you 100%. I know Bryce got off to a terrible start, but he was still posting every day. Straz has been, and again, playing here in 2012, I know how good a guy Straz is. I know how hard a worker Straz is. But at the end of the day, can your teammates rely on you and trust you throughout the course of the season? Injuries are going to pop up. I get that, but it just seems like he's open. He's allowed himself to be consistently questioned ever since he sat down in 2012.
Right.
Once he did that, you leave the floodgates open to being buried by the national media or everyone around you, because that looks like a selfish act. He chose himself over the team at that moment. Now, we knew that going in spring training. I can think back to spring training. We had heard that would happen, that he was going to sit it down once we got to the postseason. I'll be honest with you, I tried to talk him out of it multiple times as we started rolling, because I don't think anyone really realized in 2012 how good this team could potentially be. So I think maybe there was some belief that we weren't going to win the division and it would just kind of be a Jordan Zimmermann type situation.
Mm.
And it ended up being, hey, we're the best team in the National League, and we got a chance to win the World Series, and we're going to sit our best starter down. So once you do that, I think Stras loses the ability to kind of have excuses.
How did he react when you brought it up to him those multiple occasions?
Like Stras, very low key. I said, Stras, I gave him a myriad of options. I said, if you're worried about future financial success, go knock on Mike Rizzo's door right now and sign your deal and pitch tonight for us. They'll sign you.
Mm-hmm.
Take your $175 million in 2012, and I need you starting game one against the Cardinals. But that didn't happen. But what I'm saying is he leaves himself open for the scrutiny by the way his career has transpired. Because when he's right, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. And that guys wouldn't be as upset if they felt they were getting a 3-4 out on the mound. But you're getting a 1-1
right
when he goes to the post and he's right. And it's frustrating.
It is. All right, last question, man. What's more impressive to you, what the Red Sox are doing, 81-34? That's just stupid. I mean, that's just dumb. Or what Oakland has done in the last 6 weeks. Oakland won again last night. They're 68-47. What's more impressive, DeMar DeRozan?
For me, it's the Red Sox. The Oakland's been unbelievable. Their lineup is really nasty. I don't know how they're getting it done with the starting pitching they've been running out there, but they find a way every night to get quality innings out of guys like Edwin Jackson, another Nationals teammate. And an absolute nasty bullpen, 7-8-9 is on lockdown. But what Boston's been able to do consistently from the start of the year with a new manager, that's been the biggest thing for me. That team plays like Alex Cora played. In talking to him, he's a guy that's real in tune with trying to beat you at the margins. I'm gonna steal bags. I'm gonna shift. I'm gonna play D. I'm gonna nickel and dime you, and I'm gonna find a way to beat you. And what J.D. Martinez has been able to do in that lineup and how he's transformed it, I think for me, Boston's been the story. That again, like everyone's like, oh, Boston, and I got it. Come October, it's a
brand new season.
It's a seven games. Yeah, come on, anything can happen.
You're right. Hey, Mark, always a pleasure, buddy. Mark's going to call the game with Scott Braun and FP today, Facebook at 1 o'clock. Of course, you can always catch him. He co-hosts MLB Central weekdays on the network at 10 o'clock, and that's a fantastic show. Mark, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep, right, always great having you. If you're a technophobe like Jason Bishop and don't have a Facebook account, of course you can listen to the game here on 106.7 The Fan.
Yes, you can.
It's a good dude. Yep. He graduated from Wharton School of Business.
Yep. Smart dude. He really is.
And he married a ridiculously hot model.
Shocker.
He's living life the right way. And he's a professional athlete.
And he's so good on that show because he's funny and he likes to Joan a little bit.
Yep.
And they have a good time. And Lauren Shahadi is a dime piece. And they have got Robert Flores. I mean, they got bits going on. It's just a really good show. Well thought out and creative. I like it. I like talking baseball.
Well, people can talk baseball with us if they so choose. Open Line Thursday, which means they steer the show. They can talk about whatever they want. Now, there's been some joning on our callers from the last few callers.
They might need
D
to
Woods
step
in
it
particular.
Up. This next segment might need to step it up a bit.
So, if you want to talk baseball, you can. Where the Nats stand, six games out in the NL East. Redskins, of course, open up their preseason tonight at 7:30. You can chime in on that as well at 800-636-1067. Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Presented by EMP 102 Weight Loss, Structure Accountability Results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's Open Line Thursday, taking your calls at 800-636-1067. Of course, we've been doing three-man shows this week. EB returns from vacation next week, and I believe Cake steps aside. Are you taking a vacation week the week after, Jason?
I don't have anything planned. I'm taking one day because we're going down to South Carolina to look at some schools for my daughter.
Oh, that's right.
I'm only taking a Monday, but I don't have anything else planned. Maybe sometime in the fall.
Now, I think this is a great development. Had EB been here this week, there'd be a lot more PGA Championship coverage on
Correct.
The show. You certainly can chime in on that. It's about to, or maybe it has started, but we're about to see a little more coverage. I know that
feature groups go off at 9:26.
Valdez and Jason have the Golf Channel in their respective studios, so you certainly can chime in on that on Open Line Thursday. And we do have our first golf caller of the day, I believe. Actually, we had one earlier who talked about playing at various courses.
Right.
Kevin, Ellicott City. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kevin.
Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was just curious what your opinion was of Brandel Chamblee's comments that Tiger Woods got the least out of his talent of any player in history.
I didn't hear him say that. What was his point?
That seems absurd. I'll say that. I didn't hear it. It's absurd.
Well,
he got the least. He's won a ton of tournaments. I'm sure there are guys who have had great physical gifts who have won nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
squandered it all away.
What about Greg Norman?
What about John Daly? Now, he's won a couple. But I think you would probably say John Daly squandered some of his career.
Well, maybe, but he wasn't as physically gifted. Certainly not as emotionally gifted.
I would actually argue Rory is more physically gifted than Tiger is, and Rory hasn't, you know, come close to what Tiger's done in his career.
I totally agree. Yeah, I don't agree with that. You also have to remember Tiger basically missed 5 years with all the off-the-course drama and the injuries.
Well, I guess that would be part of squandering.
Maybe that was his point.
Yeah. Maybe that was his point, yeah. But he's got 14 majors, and the thing about Tiger in this comeback, and he's played better than I expected, but, you know, and everyone wants to see Tiger win. Tiger, first of all, he looked very fatigued the last weekend at the WGC, right? And he also doesn't like to play major championships without a week's worth of practice. He likes to prep it. And he's going right from Akron to St. Louis without really practicing. Doesn't know the course.
Yeah, doesn't know the course very well.
Doesn't know the course.
I think
it's a bad matchup for him.
Eight of the driver holes are draw holes. So he has to work the ball right
to
left.
How long does it take to learn the course? I mean, you're a professional golfer. You play a few practice rounds. You learn the course.
Golfers need a
golfers. Golfers on that level.
Sometimes they'll fly over. Like if they're playing at the British Open, they'll fly over 2 weeks prior just to play the course.
At that level, they need it. At our level, we don't.
But here's my point about Tiger. So he looked fatigued, and so I don't think this is a good matchup for him. He always plays the toughest courses with his tour schedule, and he plays in the toughest fields. So when he's trying to come back like this, it's tougher for him because he's playing in tournaments where all the top players are in instead of playing some of the nubby tournaments. Now, I get it. He doesn't want to. He doesn't care about winning the RBC in Canada.
Right.
Or he wants to win majors and WGCs. But I just think it's much harder for him, considering all of the other factors with the injuries, you know, his back, maybe getting fatigued. It's just going to be harder for him to win, and I don't think he's got a shot at winning this one.
This has miscut written all over it.
Oh, it does?
Yes. He cannot work the ball right to left. That's his bugaboo off the tee.
Yep.
And he has to do it.
And he's going to have to drive her because this is a long course.
Yes.
And going back to the caller's question about Brandel Chamblee, what you have to realize is part of the reason he has a job and is popular to an extent is he has to be provocative. So you're going to make provocative statements, which are probably a bit outlandish at times. Let's go to Marcus in Woodbridge. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
What's up?
What's up, Marcus?
So I heard JP say this a couple years ago, and then I heard this yesterday from Jason, and I kind of want to pick your brain on this. So you said yesterday that you think Kyrie Irving is better than John Wall. Now, I give you that he's a better shooter. He has better handles. But what else do you think he actually does better than John Wall?
It's been a long-running argument on this show. I'm team John Wall, my friend.
Nothing else, but I think that the scoring, shooting, late-game situations are greater than John Wall's playmaking ability.
So you're telling me
they're different. I think I would take Kyrie over John Wall every time on my team.
Let me ask you this. What does John Wall do better than Kyrie?
Well, I think he's a better facilitator. I think when he's engaged, he's a better defender.
John Wall, then he's never engaged. Because John Wall is not a good on-the-ball defender.
Well, let's not act like Kyrie Irving.
Well, neither is Kyrie Irving, though.
That's fine.
Kyrie Irving's not a good defender.
But you know what I want out of my star player? I want a scorer. That's what I want out of my player. I don't want a facilitator. I want a guy I can rely on to knock down jumpers when I'm down one with a minute and a half left. and you're just not going to get that with John.
I hear you, and I would say this, that I think part of the problem is the way the Wizards have been built. Like, I don't think he should be taking as many shots as he takes, and I think that's not on him. I think that's on whoever builds the team.
Mm-hmm. And I think John Wall is an extremely talented player, but if you're asking me who I would rather have, I'd rather have the guy who can shoot 47%.
You'd rather have the guy who
hit 40% of threes.
You'd rather have the guy who helped his team win the NBA Finals, and I know it was largely on LeBron, but it was also largely on Kyrie hitting clutch shots.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have down a point with 10 seconds left in the game? John can score, and he's hit some big shots, but I'd rather have Kyrie Irving. He's a better creator. And I'll give you every other column. If you want to take John Wall's a better defender, John Wall's a better facilitator, I'll give you every other column. But the one that matters the most to me in the NBA is the guy that can finish a game, hit a clutch shot, and Kyrie's proven to do that more often than John Wall.
Yeah, I mean, if Kyrie was asked to be a facilitator, if he had to change his game, I'm sure he could do it. But they are asking him to go out and score 25 a game, and that's what he does.
Let's go out to Roland, who's in Atlanta. Roland, you're on with the Junkies.
Hey, well, good morning, folks. How you doing?
What's up, man?
What's up?
So this show, Succession on HBO, it just had its season finale. I think we missed the opportunity to watch it as like a show family. It's right up all you guys' alley. It's it's a rich family. The father, played by Brian Cox, he runs a media company, and he has a spoiler alert, he has a stroke in the first episode. And so basically it's about one of the brothers wants to take over, and one of the brothers is he's in a relationship with a escort, and the sister, she's helping the father's rival. He's running for president. It's just a bunch of different moving parts, and so I think all you guys would enjoy it.
Someone told me about it, and you said it's on HBO.
It sounds
right?
Intriguing.
Yeah, it's on HBO.
How many
10 episodes? 10 episodes.
Is this the first season?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the first season. Yep.
All right.
I saw the trailer. It looked good.
Yeah. Someone told me it's great.
I just didn't check it out.
There's so many shows that people tell me about, and I say, yeah, I'm going to check it out.
My oldest son raves about Billions, and I should be in on that show, but I'm not.
You're a Showtime guy because you watch Homeland.
I am a Showtime Mark.
We can go back and watch it.
I can.
I get so focused on one or two shows. Like for me this year, it's Snowfall, which is fantastic. It's season two. And then Power.
Yeah.
Now, Power is on Stars, and Power has the worst acting.
But you still love it.
But I'm hooked on it.
Why are you so intrigued?
Because
the violence, the drugs.
It's violent.
Both shows are about drugs, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Snowfall, the acting's fantastic. Damson Idris is awesome. But Power is so bad. The acting is so bad. But I get hooked on some of the characters. And 50 Cent, terrible actor.
Right.
But all he does is kill people. And I'm just hooked on the storyline of that. But I just get hooked on two or three shows, and I just don't stray from it. And I just don't find time to watch all these other shows. That's just me.
Let's go out to Todd in Annapolis. Todd, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Todd.
Toddy Waddy. What's up?
Hey, man. Listen, I've watched a lot of radio shows, man. You guys are the best. I just moved here from Vegas. I live in Maryland. And you guys are, like, really good.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate that.
Okay, just a quick trivia question, because I know, Bishop, you like all that baseball talk. Just a quick one. Who's the only Major League Baseball player to ever win a batting title in three separate decades? That's number one.
MLB trivia.
What's that?
Nothing.
He's just joking. Go ahead.
Okay, and number two is I moved here from Vegas in March, and before I left in March, I put a massive three-teamer to win their divisions, the Cleveland, Houston, and Nats. And I pretty much went all in.
Oh,
and I can't imagine. I've been to so many Nats games this year.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine this team the turnaround. It's just so disappointing.
They're stuck.
Hold on. So
how much would you have won if the Nats somehow come back and win the division?
I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I've gambled my whole life. I've lost tons of money. The bottom line is I went all in on it. I put everything I had except $5,000. I came to Maryland. I just thought it was like the easiest money ever. So pretty much, I'm like, I know, I keep on going to these games, think it's going to change, but it never, ever, ever does.
Hey, if you've lost, this is my thing with gambling. Jason's, a guy who throws cash all the time. And I've been around a lot of people who've thrown cash over the years. And the reason why I've placed occasional bets, but I'm not a gambler. The thing that always makes me just like scratch my head is you've admitted that you've been generally a loser your whole life gambling.
How come
you can't walk away from it?
He's addicted. He's like, hey,
help himself.
Well, hey, you guys are responsible gamblers. I go all in. I'm looking for big hits.
So listen,
when I walked into William Hill in March, what was it, March 15th before I came out here, and I see Nationals minus 160, I see Houston minus 180,
yeah,
and I see like I just thought it was like stealing. I thought it was the easiest bet I've ever seen in 30 years.
Yeah.
And I come out here and these knuckleheads, the body language, I come out and watch this team, all the bad decisions by Martinez, the body language and Harper. I mean, I know he hustles and stuff, but I don't know how he couldn't make the adjustment for 3 months. I just thought this was stealing money.
So you're going to lose your house? What are you going to lose?
Look,
I don't have a house to lose, brother.
We did the same thing. Cakes and I went over the 91 and a half wins, and we lost.
Yeah, but it's for $200.
Oh, I get it. So how much money did you put? How much did you put on the parlay? How much would you have won?
Combined all together, I put $463,000 on combined part, and it paid a little over even money. You're laughing. That's brutal, man.
I'm sorry. Hey. Hold on. Where did you get the $465,000?
I played craps for 2 years and had some huge scores. I just saved a lot of money in 2 years. And before I moved out here, I knew I'd be going to a lot of Nats games, and I knew Houston and Cleveland were the nuts. But I thought there was no way that Nationals could lose that. The total wins were 96.5. The closest one were the Mets, 81.
Yeah.
They had them winning by 15. And I'm looking at minus 180.
So, are you completely bust though now, or do you still have money?
No, he's grasping that the Nats turned around.
I got $4,800 in football season starting. What do you want from me? Yeah.
Jesus, hold on. So your trivia question, I'm interested. My guess, this is probably wrong. My guess is Stan Musial.
My guess is Gwynn.
My guess is I don't have one.
The answer is George Brett. Nobody ever gets it within 10 minutes, ever.
Wow.
All right.
I'm surprised by that.
3 decades.
Dude, I love your stories. I love your stories.
Listen, Todd, you guys still have a great show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You still got time. You can grasp. It's a six-game deficit in the NL East.
So dead.
Is there any way you can hedge it? Values, can he hedge that?
He would have to split it between Phillies and Atlanta.
He would have to take a chance on one of those two teams. Probably take Philly, obviously, because they're leading, but maybe just hedge and try and get some of it back. I don't know.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Your chance to steer the show on Open Line Thursday. Remember, at 9:20, we preview the PGA Championship with Sir Nick Faldo here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.